How Long Gone. We're here. It's a Sunday, a little later than usual because of the daylight savings time. I had an early night last night because I did go to get my wound checked at the city MD, and the kind doctor told me, he gave me a splint I have to wear because the cut goes into an area of my finger that can bend. And if it keeps bending, it'll just rip the stitch out. So now I have this, you know, stent on my finger. And I was at Cafe Integral like an hour ago. And two different gay guys thought it was a Rick Owens piece of jewelry. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. Two different gay guys stopped me like, I love your ring. And I just let them kind of look at it for a second. Like, oh, wait, it's not a ring. I'm like,
you're kidding me.
I'm like, do I look like the kind of guy who's going to wear a Rick Owens ring with this like Brooks Brothers shirt? Like, is that really what you think? You know what I mean? So it was it's been
feels
funny.
Like a Portlandia skit.
I know. It's very funny. And both of them thought it was really funny after I explained it to them. But I just like, that's where we're at now. That's how big Rick Owens is, I guess, is what that really proves.
Well, but also be proud of yourself because how cool, like, if this happened to you, then maybe it's happened to other people before, but you, a person who is a Brooks Brothers wearing type motherfucker, you're able to be like, actually, this is not a piece from Rick Owens, who I am familiar with despite how I look and present myself.
Yes, exactly.
So it's cool.
despite the fit of my clothing, I do know who Rick Owens is.
All I'm saying is that you are perhaps more versed than we give you credit for typically.
Yes. No, look, I took it as a compliment, of course, but I just, this thing is... It's changed the look, you know, it makes it
the look, Rick ain't cheap, honey.
It looks, yeah, I got four stitches, and it's fine.
This is my H.R. Geiger inspired ringlet that I got at Departamento, not on sale.
Exactly. I bought this full price, but yeah, I got the four stitches. Now I got this metal stent. I'm still able to do push-ups and cardio, so we're good to go over here.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're good to go. I mean, I wanted to tell you something that I'm very proud of.
Damn, I like this black gratitude coming at me today. It's good.
I am 7 days clean from dessert. And I just want to thank my sponsors and all the people that have been there for me.
Who the fuck are your sponsors?
I'm joking. Alex and I went to Polo Bar last night, resisted dessert. I felt like a king.
I'm proud of you, and I want to know how your body's feeling, what it's looking like. Is the 6-pack, 8-pack, 12-pack busting? What's good? You sleeping better? You sleeping worse?
It's only been 7 days, but honestly, I think that I know that sugar is the enemy, and we've been told that, you know, countless times. But
I think it's Al Qaeda.
I really do feel better.
You do feel better.
It's crazy. Yeah, 100%, 100%. But it could be the similar thing that I get from not drinking or doing drugs, where it is just like a superiority complex. Being able to resist anything that's good gives me a high. And it makes my life less pleasurable, of course, but that's, I guess, what I'm into.
No, I mean, those are those little tweaks that you have to make when you think, you know, like, hey, I'm pretty much doing everything I can. You know, I work out every day. I starve myself. I hate myself, et cetera, et cetera. And it's those little things that separate the theys from the thems, of like those 2 pounds or whatever it is what turns you. And I think you're going to get there.
It's the what's the final frontier? It's the last thing I have left of bad stuff.
Okay.
That I do.
So you're a week in, and you. So we have like a month until Coachella. That's why you're doing it, or I'm assuming.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. I'm doing I'm kind of hosting the Brandy Melville house, and all of the clothes are.
Oh, Jesus. The pressure. Top.
So I don't really have a choice. It was kind of chosen for me.
You're either in or you're out.
Either in or you're out.
Congrats, man. Lastly, you're not trying to do any, because usually when I do a restrictive diet like that, where like everything's fine, I'm just gonna do FODMAP, you know, keto, paleo, whatever it is, and then like on day three I start kind of bargaining with myself, addict behavior style, where it's like, well, if I make this cheesecake out of date syrup. It's technically mangosteen powder.
I mean, that would be the equivalent of that is me being like, well, I just take CBD. It's not weed.
Yeah.
It's just, you know what I mean? It's the kind of a similar thing.
So date syrup is a gateway syrup is what you're saying.
For sure. You know that's going to lead nowhere good. There's nowhere good. But yeah, anyway. But I also
congrats.
Wanted to check in, obviously, on you. I saw some photos of you at horses with the boot on. So you're taking it out in public. You're taking it to the Prada rave. Did you put any stickers on it? Did anybody sign it? Did you finally put a Thrasher sticker on it, or did you resist?
No, I was actually talking to friend of the show Mary Kate from Neiman Marcus, and she actually was one of the people that invited me to the Prada experience that was happening in Los Angeles last weekend. And she was like, yeah, I heard about the foot, you know, sending my condolences. Maybe you could think about putting one of the little triangle Prada emblems on the boot somewhere. And I was like, that's actually very funny and a very good joke. If I pulled up and there was like a kind of nice, like nicer than it needs to be, you know, I bought a 500 pack of Prada, you know, enamel metal thingies on Alibaba. I super glue it onto the boot. It looks kind of good. You know, that'd be fun.
That looks better than most people in Prada, to be honest. But I don't. That's not red carpet. I'm talking about the nylon broke boys.
You're talking about the Jeff Goldblum flame trucker reseller shirt.
The shirt that haunted us all forever when they make some of the best clothes of all time.
I saw a couple of little queens wearing that last weekend, and I was like, no.
Well, that's archival. So I just want to be clear. You went to the opening.
It's
night.
Giving outlet.
You missed Wheezy F Baby.
I did. Yeah.
Okay.
It was Thursday and Friday. The Thursday one, it was a little less star studded and packed full of cool hotties.
Great.
But I think it was.
I can imagine.
It was a little...
Trust me, I saw who the crowd was on Instagram, and cool hotties is very nice of you.
It was sort of by design due to my handicap. Mm-hmm. I was a little. You know, nervous, anxious, not super jazzed on like
raving,
going to an event in a warehouse downtown.
You don't want to get your injured foot caught on the Keith Haring mobile. You know what I mean? It could be you got it caught on the Keith Haring merry-go-round.
On the Haring carousel. Oh.
Yeah, we could have had a problem. Yeah, we could have had a problem, and that would have been bad because I don't think Drake can take another hit on this. So if you sued him for that, it'd be bad.
But it was good. I had a lot of open space to sort of walk around. There was tables and chairs, so I was able to kind of post up to enjoy some of the
nice
the music. The music vibe on Thursday was less Lil Wayne. It was less curated by Drake, and it was more of kind of like a reggae boat cruise.
Oh, that kind of sounds vibe, pretty
which is
good,
just
honestly.
Kind of which is it's oozing product.
That sounds better than Lil Wayne. If he's DJing, I don't know if he performed or if he DJed.
There was the first ensemble had one of the smartest bets in music, which is to have a hip hop violinist. That always works well.
Let's go.
We saw 21 Savage on SNL when he was. When he performed with a hip hop violinist, and that's the thing that the hood always wants and likes.
Yeah, I've seen Tiny Desk concert and what they're trying to do over there. Didn't Licky Lee play, or am I making that up?
I did not see Licky Lee on Thursday, but there was a band that played afterwards. That they started out kind of like a jazzy scat kind of vibe.
Okay,
Which people really did not like, and then it sort of evolved into a more horn section.
Okay.
Version of like a James Brown concert.
Okay,
that part was actually kind of sick.
Good.
It was like a little like DC go-go kind of jump up. It was fun,
mm-hmm.
And people were just kind of like, you know, I'm here, I'm dressed like a techno thought, obviously, because I'm at a Prada warehouse downtown.
Obviously, that's what I went with.
I'm obviously dressed for Belheim. And then, so people at first were like, I'm a Latinx thought reseller. I don't listen to James Brown. And I don't listen to tons of music with horn sections in it. And then, but people sort of gave in and they eventually just started boogieing down, and it was kind of cool and sweet. Everyone was just getting funky.
I mean, that's actually good, but it's funny to me because that's like kind of unassailable music. That's kind, you know, yeah, what I mean? Like, that's kind of like a, that's something that we can all agree is good, and it takes like a level of talent to pull it off.
That's true.
So I'm glad that the Latinx thought resellers
they, and
were
they
able
did sound really
to come
good
around.
It's rare that you see a crowd won over in a because they really had, you know, the cards stacked against them. It's a party where you think you're just going to see, you know, the homie Miles and Armand and, you know, whoever DJing some like slinky, sexy, fun party music.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh shit, we got to play on this. We got to entertain these white boys. And they really did turn it up. I was impressed. The coolest part about the carousel rides there were because of like safety or insurance or liability reasons, the merry-go-rounds were not legally able to operate while a live band was playing. Smart. If there's a DJ playing, that's fine. But if there's a live band playing, if you're riding the carousel, you have to stop and just sit there on the carousel until the band finishes a song. But
that's sick.
The first band, their like 20-minute set was not a collection of five songs. It was like a piece.
Okay.
That did not really have an end to it.
So you have to sit for a minute.
So there was a group of people on this carousel just stuck there for 20 minutes watching a hip hop violinist play, and that was a treat to admire.
That's cool. Okay.
I did enjoy watching that.
This party has everything, and I wanted to, if you're in LA.
They also had Trey Past hot dogs, which is so Prada.
That's nice though. Well, they went carnival mode. I think that's smart. If you're in LA, Armand, a friend of ours, and he's been on the show, and he has a great podcast called Are We On Air. He took over the kiosk across from the Chateau Marmont, where I used to go buy Blunt Wraps and Avion when I would stay at the Standard. It has been on Sunset Boulevard for literally ever.
Sure.
He took it over and made it kind of an Are We On Air kiosk, and it's got books from Idea. It's got it looks like a high-end sound system as well.
Yeah. His gay ass loves a kiosk, doesn't he?
It's very European to say kiosk. I kind of like it.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
most people don't know what it means. So it's,
yeah,
it's
for me, a kiosk is where you go pay your cell phone bill. Exactly. It has nothing to do with like buying a book about Ibiza that costs $18,000.
Yeah, no, you're right. But I want to go. I hope I don't miss it. I think it's permanent, though. I think it's going to last for a while, so I want to go check it out. I also wanted to talk about...
I want to do a quick shout-out before. A friend of the show, his name is Mark, with a C. He does a wine export company called Fraiche, like creme fraiche wine. And he sent over a case of bottles, and they're all bomb as hell. So if you're looking for some wine, you don't know about wine, just hit him up. He'll ship the shit to your house, and it's good.
I hope he paid you for that. The Audemars family has joined forces with friend of the show John Mayer, and he is he's releasing his own watch, but they called him something very interesting in the announcement, and Brendan and I talked about it, and I've talked about it with a few other watch industry people. They called him the new creative conduit of Audemars. And I, as a person who is absolutely full of shit, I've never heard of a more full of shit title than that. And I'm just so impressed that it took a blue chip high-end watch brand and one of the greatest musicians of our generation to come up with this, that it wasn't created by, you know, an ad agency. You know, it was created
the people
by,
over
by,
at 72 and Stinky didn't come up with this one.
Yeah, didn't. Yeah, this is not an Ogilvy brainchild. This is
right
from the brain of guitarist John Mayer and European watch manufacturer, and that is something that is special.
But also, you do know that there is still a 99% chance that was invented by a creative agency.
I'm trying to keep that out of my
Santa
mind.
Santa Claus is real. I believe in
and
the
imagine
theory.
Imagine John Mayer in Switzerland, like with his moleskin out, just kind of coming up with some different titles that he wants to be called to see what Audemars will agree to.
I've been really kind of vibing with the word conduit lately. I don't know what that means or what that looks like right now.
I tried to work it into a song. I just couldn't make it work lyrically, but I think for this project, it would make a lot of sense, actually.
It doesn't seem like something that is in the vocabulary of the good people at Audemars, but it is more John Mayer, just in terms of his brand association with the dead as of late, because I would say the only time I would ever hear somebody use the phrase creative conduit in a earnest way was describing, trying to defend their drug problem.
Like a corporate guy trying to explain to his HR person why he got caught using drugs, why he pissed dirty.
Why the psilocybin showed up in the piss test. He's been microdosing as a creative conduit, and it's really been helping my keynotes.
I don't understand. But yeah, I found that to be really funny and cool, because I felt like it wasn't being talked to. Like, I was talking about people I knew, but I was like, how is this not the number one comment on this post? You know, but obviously making your own AP is like kind of crazy. That's like an unheard of, you know what I mean?
So yeah, it's do you think it's better or worse than John Mayer's G-Shock? It's kind of a toss-up as to which one is better, right?
Oh, it's much better. No, it's much better, because
no, it's cool. Actually, his G-Shock, like every other G-Shock collab, is, you know, atrocious looking.
I hate it.
But kind of funny. Some people could pull it off. Chris, obviously not a fan, but when you hear celebrity collaborating with a watch company or anything like that, you don't always really expect it to be a winner. And I looked at his watch and I was like, oh, this is understated but elegant and kind of flashy in a low key way. And you know, it looked sick. I was into it.
I wonder what I didn't check on the price. That's not really of my concern, since I'm not super in the market for any jewelry right now.
We don't look at price tags.
But yeah, I thought that was very funny, and it really made my day. Yeah. And I also want to apologize to a friend of the show, Nomi Fry, because I did not make it to her birthday soiree last night, and it's partly due to rain.
He's injured.
But my injury was like I felt a little self-conscious about my big finger. So happy birthday. And that party is a known rager. Last year Michael Stipe came at 3 a.m. I was already gone, of course.
That's crazy.
But it's a known rager, and I didn't, you know,
does she do it at the house?
It's at her friend.
She rents out Ray's.
No, it's at Ray's Greenpoint, the new one. No, it's she does it at her friend Al Freeman's house in Williamsburg, and it was just last year. It was like sweat coming down the walls, tight beat. Like every person you've ever seen in Dime Square on Dean Kissick's Instagram is in the fucking building. You know what I mean? But it was. I'm upset that I missed it, but she knows that I love her.
Thanks for the invite, Nomi.
I think she did invite us, actually. I think she did send the invite to you and me in the same chat, to be honest. But she knows you don't live in New York. You know, it's okay. You weren't expected to be there. You weren't expected to be there.
No.
All right, well,
it's a good thing we were talking about APs, because our guest today, we do get into watches, and he is definitely not buying off-the-rack John Mayer collab watches. He's buying red camo bust down Royal Oak etc. His name is Vadi, spelled Varg. He's a producer musician guy from Sweden, you know, not associated with Blade, Young Lean, Sad Boys, all those kind of people. He's a techno weirdo guy, artist, but he's also happens to be maybe top four guests of How Long Gone in a good long while. I just finished editing our chat that we had, and it's just so good.
Wow, Jason. Okay. Let's not disappoint anybody. But yeah, I agree. It was a blast. And honestly, he's sick.
No,
and
there was, you would be saying the same thing if you listened to the edit.
I don't listen to this podcast. That's not my job. My job is to make it. You know what I mean? And if I listened to it, I think that would be concerning.
I don't want you to listen to it. I'm just saying, if you were in the editing suite with them jeans,
I like that. Yeah.
You would be singing a similar song.
I've seen your editing suite, and suite is generous, but I know what you mean. You need to make it like an edit bay, like a movie guy, you know, like super dark, huge monitor.
Right.
That'd be a good
super
vibe.
Dark, huge monitor, various calendars on the wall with masking tape of different colors.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. yeah, but that was really fun to talk
Michael
to
Michael Bay has his own seat. Sorry, go ahead.
It was really fun to talk to him, and I think you guys will enjoy it. And we'll be back next week with more podcasts, and we are going to be announcing our 2024 tour dates in the near-ish future. We're coming to some new places, which is exciting, and more on that soon. All right, thank you for listening. howlonggone.com is the website. Follow at themjeans on Instagram, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks. Korea World is a new cookbook written by Dookie Hong and friend of the show Matt Rodbard. the New York Times best-selling authors of the book Koreatown.
Korea World is a vibrant exploration of the evolution of Korean cuisine, both in Korea and in Korea towns across the United States, with more than 75 bold, flavor-packed recipes and stunning photography.
The authors take an inside look at the exciting evolution of Korean food through stories of chefs, home cooks, as well as recipes that are shaping modern Korean cuisine.
The book begins in Seoul, where the barbecue scene is pushing into new territory and where the city's third wave coffee culture is exploding.
The tour continues with late-night food adventures in Los Angeles, my hometown, and stops into the kitchens of innovative chefs from New York City to Portland, who are putting modern spins on Korean classics.
Recipes include giant short ribs, whole fried smash rockfish, and pineapple kimchi fried rice.
I'm sad I didn't get to name the foods and you did. Korea World is essential reading for anyone curious about the future of food.
Available wherever books are sold.
This episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by Babbel. I fancy myself a trilinguist myself, but it usually only applies when I'm ordering food in restaurants. So, you know, I'm picking up Babbel so I can have some more conversational Spanish, Vietnamese, and other languages. I feel like everyone knows the food stuff, but, you know, take it an extra step in case you're in a situation when you're traveling, you're in the hills of Oaxaca, you don't have service for your little Google Translate shit. Learn it the old-fashioned way with Babbel.
Do the work. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/howlong. Get 55% off, that's more than half, at babbel.com/howlong, spelled babbel.com/howlong. Rules and restrictions may apply.
That 50% off discount is great, as I am unfortunately fluent in broken knees.
What up? How are you, bro?
We pronounce your name Vare.
Yeah, though. Perfect.
Is that actually perfect, or is that not?
No, it's super whack, but I don't know. I kind of fuck with it.
How do you pronounce your fucking name, bro?
I pronounce my name like Vari 2TM. That's how you say it in Sweden. It's like V-A-R-I almost. Vari.
Okay. So I said Vare, and so it's Vari, but I said Vare.
This is your street name, though. This ain't your government.
This is my street name. This is like my mother's nickname for me, bro. This is like, you know,
street name.
Okay, well, this is what your mother calls you, but is this also what you call yourself when you're painting trains?
No, I have a different name for painting trains that I'm not gonna out right here, because like, you never know who'll be listening in. We got a crazy ass Vandal Squad over in Europe, man.
Oh yeah, Vandal Squad.
Really?
Yeah, shout out to Vandal Squad. They know what I write.
I see them in New York all the time, and it's just so funny. They pull up in the white truck and just stand out there and look pissed all day long.
It's crazy with the Vandal Squads. Like they're like bigger graffiti nerds than we are in the end of the day, you know? Like the Vandal Squad in Stockholm used to be amazing. They used to like film us and like, you know, go up to our like partners and shit and be like, yo, tell your boyfriend to like stop hitting this layup and stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah, but it ain't that personal no more, which is like, you know, very boring. But like I heard a guy from my old crew, like that was like a big like Antifa, you know, like anti-racist dude. Like he's out now, like doing like far right wing like gun training with like one of these old Swedish Vandal Squad dudes, you know.
Whoa.
It's like, you know, now they can bond over some like whack, like, you know, like foil hat theory shit. So I think like on both ends of the line, like a graffiti writer or like Vandal Squad cop, like like same kind of like shitty person behind it, you know.
You're seeing some similarities,
just on a different side of the line.
Yeah, for sure.
It takes one to know one.
Big time.
Okay, we will not talk about your graffiti career.
I mean, we can definitely talk about graffiti in some ways. You know, like it has been my life. You know, like it's, and you can definitely tell in the music and shit too that like what I do is still like I always been more for like street bombing mentality type stuff, like very like American inspired, you know, like American graffiti scene always been like a big inspiration to me, you know, with like throw up some tags and just hitting spots all over, you know. And I feel it's the same with music, you know, like it's the same when you go out DJing in another country and stuff. Like I bomb up my like DJ Worm or Varg2TM or whatever, like during my shows, you know, it's the same shit. Like you get up, you know.
It is, it really is. As somebody who I also come from a graffiti and DJ background.
Oh, that's sick.
I didn't really ever consider that, but there are a lot of through lines there. It makes sense.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, guys, I'm gonna head out. You guys can kind of talk about raving and graffiti, and I'll kind of listen in. This is what people want.
Okay, so you you said right before we started talking that you were laying in bed enjoying a non-alcoholic beverage?
Yes, I'm drinking a non-alcoholic Fruit Loops beer.
Fruit Loops beer? And why are you taking a break from alcohol?
Yeah, for the first time in my life, I'm taking a break from alcohol. Yeah.
Congratulations. I was watching your boiler room set a little bit before we hopped on, and you seemed to finish an entire bottle of Hennessy during your 52 minute set.
Dude, that's the thing, you know. Like the thing is I'm a big guy, right? And I've been like, I'm from the north of Sweden. Like it's cold as shit. And
yeah,
I can drink, you know, like I never get fucked up, like I don't get memory loss, like I don't really get hungover. But like I started realizing that I'm 33 years old now. Like I've been drinking fucking bottles of Hen Dog since I was like a baby, you know, like. And now I was like, maybe I wonder, like, now when I can drink, like, I drink a whole bottle during one set, like, damn.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, like, I wonder how it is being, like, not drunk. Or, like, you know, like, it's not like I've been, like, on my alcoholic shit either. Like, that's the thing. Like, I never get really addicted to anything like that, you know? Like, I quit smoking and it, like, day to day. Same with alcohol. It was, like, day to day. And I haven't really looked back since. Now it's been, like, a few months and I kind of love it, you know.
Congratulations, that's great. I mean,
Do you feel good, like physically? Do you feel a difference?
I mean, not really. I mean, I still be on hitting the backwood all day, you know. So like, I'm still kicked back like that, you know. Like,
well, there's the best part about hitting the backwood is it's a zero calorie treat.
Word up, but you know, like it kind of brings.
It leads to calories. Exactly,
word up, like you will still raid the fridge, though.
Okay, so you're the type to smoke and then raid the fridge, is what you're saying.
I mean, depends though. Like my girlfriend makes crazy food, you know. Like she makes really good food, so like. Depends though. Like today, like I know for a fact that tonight I'm gonna have roast potatoes with like roast chicken and like this crazy fig salad with artichokes and stuff. Like
beautiful.
And so I'm gonna hit the back with it. Definitely raid the fridge. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Have you lost weight from quitting alcohol?
I don't know yet, but I think I will, which is dope. You know, like that's a good bonus.
Losing weight is dope.
Losing weight is dope. That's just kind of an added bonus.
Not for real.
Cherry on top.
I kind of like being a like, big guy though too. You know, like I lost like 20 kilos during COVID. I went on like some crazy like also like being sober like for a while. Like I still drank alcohol like from that now to then, like some beer with dinner and shit. But like, I was working out every day and like hanging out with my parents in the north of Sweden, like just cooking good food. And I lost like 20 kilos. And I mean, honestly, I looked super wacky. I was like, so man,
but I know what you mean. Like Jonah Hill, when Jonah Hill loses the weight.
For real. Exactly.
Is it like that?
It's kind of like that. I mean, shout out Jonah Hill though. Like, I think he looked still. He's a hot guy still, you know. But like, yeah, it just shout made me kind of look like, I don't know. You're like I want to feel like a Viking, but it made me feel like a knight.
Okay,
you know what
okay.
I mean?
Yeah, sure.
like fucking Timothy Chalamet type.
Yeah, did your clothes? I mean, that's enough weight where you might have had to get some new gear, or did you just go full oversized and hope for the best?
I mean, I love oversized. I always been rocking like the double XL man since I was like 14 years old. So
it was nothing for you.
Like, shit never changed. No, like I always been rocking the same size.
So
I like the oversized stuff.
I want to know how hard it is to get marijuana in Sweden. That's actually good. Is it tough?
Nah, I mean,
not for me is what he said to you. He said, yeah, maybe for some of these losers, these Nordic dorks, but not me.
No, for real, these Nordic dorks don't know how to find this shit. But no, I mean, it depends though. Like it depends. Like the port game has kind of changed. You know, like a lot of the Moroccan hash and stuff comes straight to Sweden now via like ports of Gothenburg and shit like this. So, you know, like, shit, the game has changed. So, like, good weed, yeah, good hash, like, bro, like, we have better hash than you got in America.
Okay, all right, like, all right, big dog.
With the weed game, no, I'm not firing shots. Like, shout out cookies, shout out, you know, like, all that shit. Like, I love America, you know, like, America, Cali is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Americans don't even really, there isn't really even a market for hash here that much.
No, I've been thinking about that, you know, like, like, how do you get the American, like the Moroccan, like, Spanish hash bricks on the American market? Like, that would be a $1 billion business.
I used to smoke a lot of hash in Atlanta, Jason. Like, there was a lot.
Yeah, I think I remember you saying that.
There was like I grew up in Atlanta, and there was like one of the drug dealers just always had hash, you know, and I would just be like, all right, fuck it, I'll buy it. And you would just, you know, I'd put it in a joint, like you'd line the paper with it and roll it up, but like, or you would just like hot knife it, like real addict style, but it was nice.
Yeah. But I mean, like, that's the thing, like, Sweden is like, it's amazing now. Like, you get that shit easy. Like, I think for everybody, like, with trap music exploding worldwide, I think like that made like every second like child a drug dealer, especially like, you know, white middle class kids from Sweden. They also fucking sell drugs now. Like, everybody wanna like push just for the sake of pushing, so you can like put it in a song or like get laid by it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's the same here. It's just, it feels crazier when it's Swedish people than when it's suburban Americans.
As a member of the hip hop community, do you feel a certain responsibility for that?
No, dude, I only push positive thinking, man. Like, I love life. I love animals and stuff like this. You know, I push forward to you.
You love animals? What kind of animals do you love?
I love animals. Animals has been my life. You know, like, my whole family loves animals. Like, that's been like the lead of my life.
Did you grow up on a farm?
Okay. Okay. Well, no. Top five animals dead or alive. Top five animals dead or alive.
Top five animals. Oh, shit. So once back in the day, I had like this fucking ambition of this golden fucking armadillo, you know?
No, I don't know.
Armadillo, bro. Like, what do you scrape?
Yeah, I know what an armadillo is, but
what is it? Is a golden armadillo like a bust down armadillo chain? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, like a bust bezel down has armadillo. The... Yeah.
Okay, just to clarify.
Like,
okay.
You know, like I remember it was like a hazy fucking like cracked out night in Detroit. I remember like scooping one of those motherfuckers off the street, and I was like, damn, like, imagine, like, you know, there's pink ones, like pink baby armadillos that are fucking cute, you know, but like, imagine a golden one, like a flexing armadillo, like a bust down armadillo. That's top one. It doesn't exist, but it's top one.
Okay, so we're able to use fictional animals as well as ones on planet Earth.
Yeah,
and I'm starting to when you just described scooping up an armadillo in Detroit, I'm starting to realize how you and Chloe Wise are friends. As a side note.
Yeah. Oh shit. Yeah. Damn. We good friends.
You guys will pick up a loose wild animal.
Not for real.
And nurse it back to health.
We've been doing that shit. I mean, this armadillo. I think this armadillo might have been eaten by like crackheads. To be honest, like, this was dead as fuck. It was a roadkill. I scooted off. But number two animal is actually a dead animal, unfortunately. It's a fantasy animal from one of my favorite Swedish restaurants. It's a roasted baby piglet with a chicken dressed as a knight riding on it.
What restaurant is this, my friend?
Huh?
Is this a real restaurant or a fictional restaurant?
Yeah. No, this is a real restaurant, man.
What's it called?
Yeah. Kvete Tunnan, like the sixth barrel.
Okay.
Is this in Stockholm?
Yeah, man. They have a fantasy animal on the menu that is like a roasted baby piglet with a fucking chicken dressed as a knight riding on top.
Okay. This is a dish you can order at the restaurant and eat.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Okay. Just trying to understand. Okay.
How many of those have you eaten in your lifetime?
At least a dozen. I was vegan until I was 18, you know, but.
Yeah, I was too, actually.
Oh, really?
Until about 19. Yeah, Chris and I were both kind of like straight edge, hardcore bros.
I made it to 20.
Oh, that's amazing.
I made it to 20.
But then you should know kind of where I'm from, you know? Like, I'm from Skellefteå, which is like really close to Umeå, where like DS13 and Refused and shit is from.
Yeah, Refused and all that. Yeah.
Refused broke up in the parking lot of the venue that I went to growing up in Atlanta. Is always the tale that I've heard.
Not for real.
It's always the tale I've heard.
Shit. Yeah, and then they did a whack ass project. What was it? International Noise Conspiracy.
Yeah, that was like everybody, I think, pretended to like that because they liked Refused so much. Yeah. But it's like, bro, this shit ain't the same. Yeah. This ain't hitting the same.
No, I remember hearing like Dennis Lixian, like he pulled up because like Umeå, like my friends out there have been like, you know, still like squatting places and, you know, doing like sick punk shit, you know. Mm-hmm. And when Umeå got like was nominated like Culture Capital of Sweden like 1 year. Mm-hmm. And it was like one of the things they used in Emotions was like my friends fucking like punk squat, whatever. Yeah. And when they got this prize, they like evicted the squat and were like gave them some shitty place like outside of the city, you know. But then Dennis Lixian from Refused, I heard he did like some real like fucking like Storm Cone fucking P. Diddy shit there, like pull up and he was like, it sounds like shit, and like whipped out like a band and gave it to them like, get a new mixer or some shit like that.
I love that. That's Sweden's version of Puffy pulling up to the studio. is Dennis from Refused
coming in his fucking like Sheep Monday like super tight pants and like, hey guys, like don't spend it all on booze.
Fuck off, Sheep Mondays.
No, for real.
I want you to walk 10 miles down the street and buy me some pickled herring and bring it back to the studio type shit.
For real.
Damn. Okay. Oh, yeah. Actually, speaking of Diddy, what do you think about the whole Diddy situation over there?
Dude, I haven't really looked.
Has it hit Sweden?
Not really. Not fully. Like, I kind of always, in some way, like, never really. I've been a hip hop head since I was a kid, you know? Like, that's why I started getting, like, turntables when I was 9, the first ones, and started scratching. I was like, too heavy for b-boying, you know? So I was like scratching, yeah, you know, fucking buying J Dilla records online and like wasting all my money on like fucking like buying like dancehall dub plates and shit. Like it was
okay. You were doing the heavier set hip-hop disciplines.
Yeah.
You're making beats, sure, painting sure. Graffiti, stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly, like the big boy shit. Mm-hmm. But then like I remember like the only track I ever liked from P. Diddy was that like Bad Boy Anthem, you know.
Yeah.
And I always fucked with like that he admits in the that track, like, don't worry if I write rhymes, I write checks, you know, that he goes in like admitting to like having a ghostwriter and that like, fuck you, I'm like just out here balling, you know. And I kind of like that shit always made me respect him, but like now as shit is unfolding, I'm like, oh shit, okay, he's just like fucking crazy, man.
Yeah, you respect the honesty about him, you know, maybe using a ghostwriter or sampling old hit songs and trying to take credit for it.
Yeah, but, I have an ex that used to kick it a lot with P. Diddy back in the days. Like, I've seen a million photos of them and like Aaliyah and shit. Like, damn, yeah. Yeah, and I've always been like, damn, that's Pop Daddy. And now I'm like, yeah, and that was like Epstein shit.
He's Epsteining. You guys have Epstein over there, right? You know about that shit.
Yeah, we know about Epstein.
yeah, yes. We're up on that. Yeah. We're good.
Okay, so, sorry. Animal number three.
Animal number three. Ooh. I mean, right now, Pomeranians. I'm so into Pomeranians, you know? And I've been thinking, like, you know, like, to get a service dog, you know, like, because, like, that's the thing. Like, I don't really party these days, you know? I go out and shit if it's, like, a friend's show or whatever, like. Mm-hmm. But if I go out, like, I'm a full diva. I'm like, no queue, no fucking queue, no, like, nothing.
Me and
like,
you both, me and you both, like, sweetheart. I ain't waiting
I'm
on
with it. I'm with it.
For real.
You work too hard for this bullshit.
Yeah, Tony Montana, I work hard for this, you know? Like, that's the thing. But that's the thing, you know? Like, so, like, yeah, I don't really go out, so. And when I'm out playing clubs and shit, like, you know, I can bring my Pomeranian, put it in my hotel room for an hour, like, lay a nap and, like, buy a little bone, like, put on a little DMX for it, you know, like, what dogs like. And then, like, fucking, like, go to the show, like, do my shit, like, you know, like, show my bust down for the crowd and go home, you know, like, back to the mental health dog in the hotel room. And, you know, like, and that's kind of the thing, like, now I want to look up, like, how easy it is to get a fucking mental health service Pomeranian.
Mental health dog. doggy.
It's not hard. No. At least in America, we'll give them to anybody. They'll give them to anybody.
Yeah, and I mean, I have the record for it, so like it should be good. You know what I'm saying?
I think you just have to. I think it's just like a fee, right? Jason, do you know? Is it just like $300 yeah, bucks just, or something?
It's, and they'll give it to you if you fill out all the paperwork. When you used to be able to get like a medical marijuana card, you just say like, "Here's $45. Mm-hmm. I have insomnia." And they're like, psh, okay, here you go. It's that easy. It's just for the money.
Dumb. Well, I'm Swedish and we have rules, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Must be nice. I actually kind of miss rules sometimes here in America. what color and size Pomeranian? Are we going super small? Butter Tim color?
Yes. And like tiny, tiny, tiny. And I want to name it something crazy. Like, I don't know, like fucking Snap Dog or some shit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're really feeling Pomeranians right now. Small, yeah. Tan, a beautiful, beautiful khaki color, something like that. Okay, what about number four?
Like colored, like matching my teams, you know, like Pomeranian matching my teams.
That's nice. That's a nice touch.
Yeah, I think so.
This episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by Booking.com. Booking.yeah. From cozy bed and breakfast to trendy boutique hotels, with so many choices across the beautiful United States of America, you can book whoever you want to be. That can look like booking a 5-star hotel to indulge your luxury side, that's me, or booking a remote cabin in the woods to explore your adventurous side.
So spring has sprung, the sun is out, the sun is shining, I can't wait to get to New York. Check out Booking.com for your ideal hotel or vacation home, no matter where you go in the U.S.
Booking.yeah.
Book whoever you want to be on Booking.com. Booking.yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding, like a dog. You know, you have a great head of hair, Jason. Can you speak on this?
Yeah, you hear this? That's my thick Nutrafol bottle shaking in there. If you open up the lid, a little ASMR, it says, keep growing.
Mm-hmm.
It says that on the inside of the lid. Motivational. The pills look like a classic turmeric supplement, so it'll be familiar going down your mouth, but it doesn't have that sting of turmeric.
Mm.
What it does have is the sting of visibly thicker, healthier hair.
Let's go. Yeah. So if you have any hair thinning, shedding, or any other hair issues, Nutrafol has a proactive approach. And it has been known to improve hair growth, decrease shedding, add visible thickness. And it's a clinically effective formula. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off the first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code HOWLONG. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and stylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code HOWLONG. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code HOWLONG. We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on. I compromise every day, Jason, as you know, because that's kind of part of being a good friend and partner.
Oh, wow.
I am forced to keep food in my refrigerator against my will because my wife demands it. But when it comes to your health, Jason, there's absolutely no compromise. So don't go back to that one doctor who uses your appointment to catch up on the latest headlines, their family group chat, or their crossword puzzles just because they're available right now or because they take your slightly sketchy insurance. I know you have sketchy insurance, Jason. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to you, and most importantly, prioritize your health. And you can search by location, availability, and insurance. So literally no compromises here, because with ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know.
ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. All these doctors are real, with verified reviews from actual patients. We're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists near you, or if you want to book one far away from you, that's your decision. Go to ZocDoc.com/howlong and download ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That is ZocDoc, Z-O-C-D-O-C. .com/howlong. ZocDoc.com/howlong.
Number four, I would say like hippos. Like I think hippos, hippopotamus. Like those are crazy. Like people make fun of them and laugh and shit. Like we laugh it now, you know. Like people at home be laughing about like oh fucking hippo type shit. But like they will fucking eat your family. Like they take you out, they take your boat out, they eat your yacht. Like you ain't safe.
Like, eat your yacht.
They eat your yacht. They eat your
the hippo will take a bite out of the yacht.
No. They'll eat your bus down. They swallow that whole shit. They take you and they
floss
you out.
Their teeth with your bus down with your whole Jacob chain. They floss their teeth.
Yeah, man. They like go full Johnny Dang, man. They don't care. Like the hippos are crazy.
Okay.
I kind of fuck with that.
Yeah, I guess I like how dangerous, how deadly they are. And how much people really kind of make fun of them and hate on them, because that just makes when it's time for them to kill your whole family, it makes the justice, the revenge even sweeter, you know?
Yeah, no, for real. For
okay,
real.
This is starting to turn into a Joe Rogan podcast where we just talk about how badass animals are and how they could kill us, which is how we get ratings. So thank you.
I never listened to a Joe Rogan podcast ever. Like,
good for you. Good for you. You're better than that.
I wish I was like you.
Yeah, I have a t-shirt. I have a Joe Rogan podcast t-shirt, but like that my
really?
Friend made. Yeah, my friend made one that is like fucked up.
Is it cool?
It's super cool. It's my friend James Wallace. He makes his brand called Haunted Starbucks. It's hilarious. He makes cool shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I've seen that.
Yeah, he makes cool shit. It is cool. Yeah, we've been collaborating a lot. He's dope. And like that, yeah, the Joe Rogan.
He makes wild shit.
Yeah, no, for real. And the Joe Rogan podcast, he heard his fire. But yeah, I never heard that shit. Honestly, that's something that like is like very Swedish slow. Like, I saw all that like fucked up shit about Joe Rogan, and I couldn't connect the dots that it was like that guy that I thought was super dope when I was a kid doing X Factor. You know,
you couldn't put it together.
That took me years. Nah, that took me years. It was literally like 2022 type shit.
But as an animal lover, did you like seeing people, you know, like eat scorpions and shit?
I mean, I ate scorpions and shit. Like, when I was a kid, I would send in like, you know, like I remember like my first public appearance ever was in a kid's show when I sent in like this letter to this Swedish TV show called Bamse, which is like some big brown bear or whatever. No, Bamse, Björnes Magasin. It's like some bear's fucking warehouse. And he showed videos of like seals getting eaten by like polar bears. And I was like, no, fuck that. And he sent in a letter like, don't eat my friends type shit, you know? Like, because when I was a kid, you know, I had like that shit on. Like, I put the shit, I had the crosses on my hands when I was a kid. Like, oh, bro, like, my siblings was really into that shit. So I was fully like, I thought I was straight edge when I was like 6, 7 type shit.
Okay, okay.
Are your parents vegan? Are your parents vegetarian?
Yeah, yes.
So you guys are a full animal liberation.
Yes, my sister okay. Have a big tattoo that just says animal liberation, man. You know, like shout out my son.
Wow.
Like honestly, like
wow,
the nicest, most respectful people. Like yeah, like they fucking gods. You know, they're amazing. Yeah.
They're a voice for the voiceless.
No, for real. They're so they have a lot of love. You know, they taught me a lot, and like it's sick. It's nice to see some compassion out there these days. You know.
Facts, bro.
No, for real. It's a cold world.
Cold world. That's why we need little Pomeranians. Okay, number one dog or number one animal.
Number one animal, man. Golden armadillo, man. I told you.
Okay, sorry.
It's the bust down armadillo.
Yeah. We've gone through all. I think that's five.
That is all
correct?
Five.
Or five.
But that also leads me to another question that we ask some of our guests, depending on the lifestyle that they live. Are you able to list the top five prescription drugs of all time?
Ooh. Top five prescription drugs.
That's right.
Shout out to like Cialis and Viagra for like helping men reach their goals, I guess. Like I understand that erectile dysfunction must be like a bitch, you know, like.
So this, just to be clear, this is not an issue that you suffer from, but just.
No, I'm just topping like, you know.
You're
like,
good. You're good.
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
You're just showing love to them for helping out people.
I eat my meats and I get my vitamins. Like I'm fucking good. Like I take care of that shit.
Okay.
You know? Like I keep fresh, but like, yeah, no, I'm listing like, you know, top five shit that I know, like been helping, I guess, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, like, okay. All right, I like this approach.
There's no wrong answers here. There's no wrong answers.
Yeah,
here.
Like I mean, that's the thing. Like, I mean, otherwise it would be like, oh, number one, Oxy, which is like not cap, but like I'm not gonna put that on this list because you know, like if you want to look at it, Oxy kind of fucked America up. So like, no Oxy on this list. I'm gonna live number one. Viagra, respect. Shout out Viagra, like getting making the soft boy hard again, like dope. number two, ibuprofen. Shout out ibuprofen.
Okay.
I have a constant migraine and it helps much.
Okay.
Hell yeah, ibuprofen.
We all use
number
that.
Number three, Ozempic.
Okay.
Give it up to Ozempic. Ozempic. Like, we all want to be skinny bitches one day. number four, crack cocaine. Like, I don't know, like crack. I mean, it's not really prescription, but like no, whatever. It's not. But, like, shout out crack cocaine. It's been like, it's been helping poor people get more money, like getting to the bag. Like, I like that. Robin Hood shit. The Robin Hood drug. Fucking shout out crack.
Yeah.
And number five, man, this is crazy. But like, there's this thing, like, I have two next to my bed here, like, this fucking Swedish nasal spray shit, like Otrivin, is called silometazoline hydrochlorium type shit.
Okay.
It's like a fucking nose spray that I think it's like 3 out of 5 type shit in Sweden that is addicted to this.
Okay.
It's a prescription-free, like, anti-congesting fucking nose spray. And I, like, every person in Sweden is addicted to this shit. Like, it's a serious problem. Like, we have no sprays out there to, like, take away the addiction of this.
What does
shit.
It really? What does it make yes. you feel like? Like, what does it do besides declaw?
Yeah, why do people use it recreationally?
Like, while you're, like, fucking, while you have a cold or some shit, you use it and it, like, or, like, a coke flu or some shit. Like, you use it and you're... You're like, you get like your fucking sinuses.
Yeah, yeah. But is there another? Do you feel high too, okay. or something? Is there another
so
benefit?
So for like 2 minutes, your sinuses feel good, and then you just keep hitting it like the Juul all day.
Look at this shit. It's crazy. This guy's having Wi-Fi issues, like a chump.
No, that's for real. Like having Wi-Fi issues in 2024. That's some stump ass.
Come on,
shit.
Bro. Come on. Unless you're in a hotel. If you're at home, come on.
Yeah,
you know exactly. I mean? If you're at home.
Yeah, no.
Hotel, real. You can't be. They can't be trusted. You know,
not like
they
real,
hotels can't never. Be trusted. But also, we usually part of the reason we do video off sometimes is because the Wi-Fi is so like.
Yeah,
I've been in hotels real. Where the Wi-Fi like you can't if you turn it on it just the computer shuts down.
Yeah, no, it's the wackest shit ever. I mean, but you know, at the same time, like crime in Copenhagen and Denmark is fucking crazy. You know. Stockholm has the highest gun crime ratio in all of Europe.
Oh, I didn't know that. What is this? Is are guns the issue in?
Yeah, number one is Sweden. Number two is Armenia. Can you understand how fucked up that is? Like Stockholm and then Armenia. That's one and two on the like.
That is that's honestly shocking. Like I am very surprised to hear that.
But it's barely anybody knows about this because we hide it internationally, you know. But like. Yesterday, it was 4 shootings and 6 explosions just in Stockholm, you know?
Jesus, really?
A guy just walked into a cafe and, like, fucking shot a guy in the face, like, in front of children and shit. Yeah, man. Like, it's
Jesus,
fucking
I didn't
serious
know it was,
shit.
I didn't know it was that crazy, dude.
Dude, it's insane. Like, I just saw this, like, trap channel I follow that, like, talks about, like, American trap lore, you know?
Yeah.
He has made one about, like, Swedish, like, crazy gun violence, you know? And he's talking about, like... How we like kidnap our rappers, you know, and like put them in like dog leashes and women's underwear and piss on them and shit. And like that's what happens in Sweden right now, bro. It's crazy.
Is it gang? Is it like gangs or is
yeah,
like, what's,
yeah, okay, it's gangs,
it,
man. It's gangs.
Is it drugs? Like, or is it like what are they? Yeah. What's the business that they're in besides
drugs and contract killing, bro?
Contract killing.
Yeah. Bro, we have assassins that are like 12 years old. Like, that's the most normie shit. Like, Jesus. That's it's crazy. Because in Sweden, if you're under 16, you only get 2 years in a like an open youth penitentiary with the rehabilitation and like Xbox and free government food and like your own room. And you get to hang out with other criminals that are your age and you can just do trap all day instead of going to school. And that's what you get for murder, man. So, like, everybody under 16 is, like, a contract killer in Sweden. It's crazy.
Damn, I had no idea.
But buying a murder in Sweden is literally, like, less than 10K.
So if I need to get somebody killed in Sweden, it's affordable.
It's less than 10 bands, well. Yeah.
Less than 10 bands, and with the exchange rate, I'm looking good.
Dude, it's crazy. Sweden is so cheap.
That's 2 R legacy coats, and we're done.
Yeah, literally, I got 2 R legacy outfits, so I can get this guy that's annoying killed.
No,
you
for real.
I didn't know that. But I mean, that's that. I mean, there's similar laws in America where if you're under 18, you know what I mean? It's like the penalties are much less severe.
Yeah, but
if it's murder, it's murder.
Yeah, but you don't get that.
No. Yeah. If it's murder,
bro, you don't get 2 years in like a fucking in a fucking youth house, you know, for like fucking like shooting someone in the head.
And we don't have 12-year-old contract killers here, as far as I know. But,
I mean,
nah, man, it's crazy. Sweden has really lost it.
I didn't know. Okay, well now, I mean, I'll still keep going there because I like it. But I didn't know it feels so safe and clean. That's why I like it.
Yeah, but like, you know, it is safe and clean. But that's the thing. Like, the gun violence doesn't really affect
regular people, civilians,
you and me types.
You know.
What I'm saying, like, it's for the people. Like, yeah, I mean, I have a lot of friends lost in that shit, but like, it ain't so bad if you're like a tourist, you know. Maybe if you like walk around with a Rolex or AP, but like, you know, like, then you're fucked anywhere, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I keep my shit tucked, you know. I keep my shit tucked.
I never do.
You keep all your ice on, like, everything's out, all the chains.
Yeah man.
So you're just good in the city.
Are you buying hella jewelry? Are you dripping?
Oh, shit. Actually, it's a fun subject. Because I've been getting into this shit. Like, I just bought like a bust down AP. I got like one of those like red camouflage fucking offshore APs, like two-tone rose and fucking.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, where did you buy this? In Sweden?
No, New York. This is New York, that, like, jewelry district shit.
Okay.
Yeah, in Sweden, like, there's actually not so many good places to get jewelry in Sweden. But yeah. If you don't want, like, and just good places for like watches, if you care for that shit. But like, I mean, I kind of don't really care about watches or shit like that. Like, I care about being drippy, and like, honestly, I think it's such a goofy drip with the bust downs, you know. Like, I had to get that shit. So yeah, I got that, and I'm waiting for like some bust down chains to come in, and like, I got a bust down cease to exist pendant coming in, that custom shit. So yeah, I'm coming there.
Okay, where is all this bust down money coming from, my friend?
Yeah, what's going on?
This shit ain't cheap,
bro. Like, are you the IRS or what, man? Like,
he said, chill out.
No further questions.
Chill out. Damn, the federales.
No, but you know, like, I make art. You know, like, I make paintings. I make paintings. I sell them in galleries.
Beautiful.
I make music. You know, like. I already had a few watches that I flipped to get this. Like, I want to get more into like the bust down shit. Like, honestly, like, the thing with bust downs and watches and shit is like, I think it's more like a personal investment, right? Like I said, like, I always been down with like rap music since I was a kid, and like, you always saw these like people with jewelry and shit, like Juvenile or fucking like whoever, you know, like.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it looked dope, and like, now I'm at the point where I could actually like do it. So like, fuck it, I do fucking ball, you know.
I agree.
And like, I had some like Plain Jane watches and shit. Like, fuck that shit. Like, fuck a Plain Jane and fuck like market worth and like coming generations. Like, I wanna invest in me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
there's nothing plain about you, Vadi.
No, literally.
You're okay. So you're giving back. You're giving back to yourself. No, you're investing in your future.
Yes, and like, I like to have fun, you know. And like, I come from like, I'm very lucky to have like a mother and a father that are like, you know, absolutely fantastic. I've been crazy and getting in fucking hella trouble and stuff since I was basically 10 years old, you know, and like, if not earlier. And you know, like, they always been supporting my shit and like being like there for me. And like, I don't come from like any like economical like lots of money or background, and now I can just like keep on being myself, and like, I still have that support from my family, you know. And I could finally buy them like, you know, their favorite, like the trip they always wanted to go to. I got them that for Christmas, you know, and I can get myself a bus down, and I'm still on my knees, you know. And for me, being like a fucking like bullied fat kid from like a fucking tiny ass village, you know, like, refused, it's our biggest claim to fame from like the north, and it's the fucking 2.5 hours south of where I'm from, and like, honestly, I could not care less. Like, shout out DS13 though, like. But like, you know, like, it's just fun to me. So like, for me, this is just like a fun thing. Like,
oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, because I think a lot of people take that kind of stuff much too seriously.
People really do, and like, that's the thing. Like, I like my biggest like motivation, and like, which is also like my biggest trauma, is like I lost a lot of my friends to like whatever, like suicide or like fucking overdoses or whatever, you know. Like it is cold in the north and it is fucking boring, and it's like mental health issues and like drug problems, it's exactly like rural America type trailer park type shit, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
I seen a lot of my friends die and whatever, and you know, like whatever they fucking saved up on and shit, like that ain't worth shit tomorrow because they ain't here to enjoy it anyway, you know. And and I'm like, I'm kind of like past that point where I would lose myself, you know. You know what I mean? Like, I'm out of the crazy shit. Like, I'm now I'm focusing fully on like doing what I do, and I can get a bus down and fucking man, I'm gonna do it, you know. Like,
I love it. I love it.
You know, you never know. You never
you
know.
Treat your, you treat yourself.
Self care.
Like, yeah.
You treat yourself.
It's also just yeah, and like giving the 12-year-old me like what I want, like fucking making me feel like a Nelly music video type shit.
How do how does your family feel about the tats? Because you went kind of crazy.
Oh no, they. Oh shit, that's fine, man. That's fine.
They're more tatted up than you are.
Yeah, my mother always said like keep your hands and like, you know, neck and up free, you know, like you always want to be able to like put a shirt on. And like my old crime thief friends always said the same, like don't get a face tat, man, like the cops are always gonna fuck with you.
Yeah,
but like that's also kind of the thing, you know, like no more like crime shit, and looking forward to like a new life where I can just like be myself, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really care to get raided by cop because like I haven't done shit, you know. Like, I'm good now. Like, I'm just doing my thing. I'm like, you know, I'm just myself, and I'm not holding back. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not holding back of who I am. So
yeah,
if I want to have tattoos in my face, like, it's fine. And to be honest, when I did my biggest ones like on my cheeks, my mother saw it and she was like, you look like yourself, you know.
Wow.
And that's the thing, I feel like myself. Like, for everything I do, I feel more like myself every day I do. You know, you get to know yourself better every day. And yeah, so no, they're good.
I feel
know?
Like you really had a really amazing childhood, and your family and parental life is really great. It's nice to see that, and it seems like you're really grateful for that.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah. My album is dropping on my mother's birthday, you know? Like, yeah, it hasn't been easy, and it hasn't been like, you know, it's been a tough life in many ways.
You've been a bad boy for a lot of your life.
Yeah. And, you know, like, I have ADHD, and, like, I've been going on fucking crazy ass side missions my whole life, and, like, fucked up school, like, get kicked out of school, like, fucking police raiding the house, you know, like racking up like hundreds and thousands in fines, like fucking, like, you know, like where police officers asking like, where's my fucking my duty weapon type shit, like, you know, like,
damn,
it's been crazy. But you know, my parents always believed in me and always been nice and been there, and you know, like, they've been coming to my shows. They've been coming down to Berlin, like catching me playing Bergheim and shit. You know, like, oh, they down. You know?
Your parents came to see you in Bergheim?
Yes, man.
How did they get in?
I let them in. You know, like, fucking, they're my parents, bro. But you know, like, it was crazy.
That is so amazing.
Yeah, and just having them like, you know, react to like seeing like a bunch of people with their shirts off, like high as fuck on ketamine, and you know, like. Like showing them the world I live in, and like, you know, because it's also very different from where I'm from, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
every day still I'm like, what the fuck is this life, you know? Because it's like, this is not at all what I come from, you know. It's like being like, come from like fucking like basement shows and shit to nowadays like getting escorted by security to like some private meeting room in like some fucking rooftop lounge bar, like the fuck, man, like
Yakuza shit, bro. Tokyo Vice shit.
Yeah, man, it's literally like, you know, like I learned English from like NWA records and like Grand Theft Auto, and like now it's kind of like some Grand Theft Auto shit, like, you know, like I've been in LA a million times type shit. It's like, I don't know, it's weird. And like, of course I'm thankful, like, you know, I'm thankful I still keep contact with my childhood friends and with my parents a lot. I talk to them almost every day, you know, like, never forget where you come from, you know.
Do you have any childhood friends who are like, bro, what the fuck happened to you?
Yeah, man.
Like, they're like not with it, or are they all with it?
No, man, like now they're with it. Like, that's the thing. Like, I don't have many childhood friends. Like, most of them are dead, you know? Like,
oh, wow.
Most of them are dead, like killed or in an overdose or whatever, you know? Like, countless people, like, we're talking handfuls, you know? And mm-hmm. the few I have left, they always been fucking with me because they also, like, you know, fucking trash people like I am, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
from the slums too.
Yeah,
you guys have an understanding.
They also jumped off the porch at a young age, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
you know, they also been with it. So, like, yeah, of course, like, maybe it's a different hustle. Like, you can look at someone with like biker affiliates, and we look at him, be like, yo, what the fuck are you on, the type shit like that. But, you know, like, they respect it because they see I do my thing and I get the bread for it, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm respectful in what I do, even if they don't fucking get it.
Yeah.
So I actually, like, shout out to all of those people too, because, you know, like, yeah, they've been with it. They've been with me all this time.
Beautiful.
But then, like, the other people, they haven't fucked with me since I was a kid. I've always been like this, you know?
Yeah.
I used to surround myself with people that try to understand, I guess.
You didn't switch it up. You've been like this the whole time.
Word, yeah.
We were talking on our last episode with a musician who kind of is known for making kind of sad-ish music. And we were talking about how back in the day, maybe like you were talking about the Nelly, the Diddy, Juvenile times when,
yeah,
you know, club music and turning up was like happy and celebratory and bottle popping. And nowadays, you know, club music is a little bit more sad, depressing, minor. The drugs are different. The beats are different. The energy is different. The lyrics are different.
Yeah.
Where do you see that going? I mean, obviously, you know, Sad Boys it's in the name, but like, do you think we're going to have a happy music renaissance? You think it's ever going
to
happen?
I've been trying to make like some happy music lately. Like, I have a few like happy songs coming out, but like, that's the thing. Like, I think the world would maybe need some more happy music, because honestly, like, it's fucking sad, you know, like, waking up in today's world is not a blessing, you know. It's, in some ways it is if you have people you love and shit, but like, for most parts, it's depressing, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel
a
like
a lot of people, it's very hard right now.
Yeah, that's like, I think like that's also why I'm switching around and trying to make more like fun shit. I'm a fun guy too, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I kind of made it out of like a bleak place, and like, it's easy for me to make bleak music and shit, but like, making the fun stuff is hard, but when you do, you feel kind of like you're actually giving something away. You know what I'm saying? Like, the sad music is kind of like, I feel you, bro. Well, like, this happy music is like, kind of keep a good spirit. And, you know, like, it's fucking important to keep a good spirit up, even in these terrible fucking times, you know?
We need a renaissance from Swedish House Mafia, maybe.
Dude, I love Swedish House Mafia, you know? Like, I met Steve Angelo a few years back in the airport lounge in Stockholm, and like, me and him were the only ones getting drunk at like 6 a.m. So he was like, yeah, you must be a DJ. I was like, yeah, word. And he was like, where are you going? And I was like, LA. He was like, oh, me, I'm going to Miami. And I was like, yeah, dope. And it was like this little like world star DJ moment. And, you know, like, I was going to play like some fucking like some basement punk shit. And he was going to like, you know,
I'm going to go play a stadium, a football stadium.
Yeah, but I met him like a year later at the graffiti shop, and he walked up to me and I was like, bro, fuck, man, how's the DJ career going? I was like, I'm up still. You up still? Like, you know. So, like, honestly, shout out Steve Angelo. Shout out Swedish House Mafia. And, you know, like, I live and I have my studio in the same area, actually, where they all come from, which is like the Blue Hill in Stockholm, like Hagalund.
Yeah, actually, when I was watching your Boiler Room, I saw you played like a jungle remix of One.
Yeah, yeah. No, but that's the thing. Like, I love Erik Prydz.
Can you bless me with the MP3, though?
Yeah, I can. It's a dub plate, but I can send you some dub plate.
My man. Thank you.
I'll help you out.
I'll send you some shit. No, I got you. I'll drop a folder. But like, yeah, no, I think like that whole thing is starting to like, it should come back, and I've been making some happier music. Let's see. I feel like my painting is also becoming happier. You know, my designs are becoming happier. Like, it kind of shifts, like, when the world is happy, like, we have space to like show the dread and pain that we all go through, you know? But like, when the world is like this, you know, like fucking waiting for a new world war to begin type shit. Like,
yeah.
They're like, it's very much like the bad guys are on top right now and it's not good, you know, like we need some happy shit.
Now more than ever.
Yeah, for real, man. Like bring back some fucking like even like the Beyonce, like Yes Go Girl songs is kind of like depressing to me. Like bring back good shit. Like Gangsta Queen Latifah. Like bring back Queen Latifah.
Mm.
Period.
That's on period. Do you listen to podcasts yourself, Vadi?
Yeah, I listen to like Swedish like crime and gang podcasts. That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like nice to get like neighborhood updates.
Okay. Citizen app.
Sure.
Type
it's,
shit.
It's local news. It's local news, but in a podcast format. So,
yeah, literally. Yeah.
It was like maybe somebody fell down a well or something like that.
Yeah. Type shit.
Type shit.
Type shit.
Type shit.
Fell down a well type shit.
On God.
Do you paint in the same studio that you make music in, or do you have two separate spaces?
I have a few separate spaces. I have a tower together with this witch, which is like a fucking like an ancient like full Lord of the Rings type situation that like for real, like it looks crazy.
I'm sorry, did you just say you shared this with a witch?
Yeah. Like a great witch. She's like 65 or something.
She's a great witch. Okay. If you're looking for a witch, she's a great one.
She is a great one.
Okay. We don't know much about witchery. Is it big in Sweden?
Yeah, I mean, we come from that shit, you know, like we come from like witchcraft, you know, like I definitely come from that shit. Like, yeah. Been standing on witchcraft, you know, like the demon.
It is very Swedish.
Okay, you share a space with a great witch is what you said?
Yeah, I have the top floor, yeah. And then we have like a ritual room, like which is the middle floor, and then like a common space in the bottom and shit. And there's a painter that has a great studio there. And that's like, I have a music studio there and I paint a bit there and shit. But yeah. And then I have the Cease to Exist. We have like a headquarters too, you know, we have like a little headquarters for like our office and our studio. And then I paint at home, honestly, like mostly I paint at home. I fucking love that shit, except that I fucked my floor up and like I'm gonna have to like fix that shit. But I love painting at home, you know, because like I don't get to be at home. And for a lot of years, I don't really had a home. Mm. So I have one now and I fucking love being there, you know?
It's beautiful, my friend.
Do you have a car?
No, I don't have a car, man. I'm not allowed to drive.
Well, I just told us you were getting into jewelry, I thought cars might be, you know, next or running parallel.
I love cars, man. My brother has a crazy ass Mustang Mach-3 that is so beautiful and like sounds so crazy. And like, man, I love me a good car. But yeah, I haven't really been allowed to get a license. But like that shit is changing. So like, yeah, I'm gonna get one. And I'm definitely going to get a sick ass car too.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like, you know, your artistic brain and mind and, you know, the clothes you wear and the jewelry that you have, I would just love to see that channeled into whips because I feel like you would have, like, I feel like you already have like 10 G-Wagons built out in your brain already.
Man. Yes. I love me a G-Wagon. I was actually whipping a G-Wagon last time I was in LA. Because I was like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I can't die in this. I was thinking, you know, like, that's the thing. Like, I don't really know how to drive.
Yeah, so, okay. So you,
it's best that you get driven.
Yeah.
Yeah, I fuck with a driver, yeah.
Yeah, we all do.
My girlfriend got a license, and she bad as fuck. So if she can drive me around, that's a good look, you know?
That's a very good look.
Yeah, that's a great, great look. That's a great look.
Yeah.
Do you prefer New York or L.A. if you're coming to America?
Ooh, New York or L.A.? Like, okay. It's fucking tough because honestly, I spent more time in LA, but New York is more fun, man. Like, I have more fun in New York because it's walkable. You know, I love walking. And, like, it's like the Mecca of graffiti, you know, like walking around, like getting up in New York. Like, it's fun, you know, like dipping between restaurants and fucking getting up and like working and shit. Like, it has like a good pace for like an ADHD guy like me, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like,
you gotta go scrub the toilet at Lucien. Feels amazing.
For real, literally that, man. I've been doing that. Yeah, it's fucking good, you know? Like that shit I fuck with New York. With LA, it's like, I feel like a lot of shit get boring and it's like a lot of shit that it's just like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. It's just like some fucking like.
It's like LA is just like a big house party to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like a Red Cup house party. It's like, oh, wait, be careful. Don't spill that. This is Drake's house.
Like, man.
That's a good point. It's a very good point. It's rare that you go to someone's house in New York that's like that.
I feel like every house I've been in has been like, this is Drake's house. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything.
Yeah.
But with that.
Like, Drake can't live in every house in LA.
No, but with that said, like, me and some friends did rent the A-frame for like a few months and did have like a fucking blast in LA. And I have a lot of good friends out there. Like, shout out all my homies in LA. And like, you know, LA do be fun. Like, I have fun friends out there and like very creative and dope people. So, like, you know,
yeah,
LA is dope. And like, you know, also the home of fucking Drake or the Ruler, like, long live the truth. And
yeah, actually,
RIP, you know.
Speaking of rappers, I wanted to ask about how it is working with RX Poppy.
Impossible, man. Fucking impossible, man. fucking.
You don't say.
Pre-RX Poppy, man. Fucking, yeah, man. Pre-RX Poppy. Mm-hmm. Shout out Poppy, but yeah, no, he all right, that's been impossible, man. Nephew, though, like, shout out Nephew. He easy as fuck to work with. He fucking, like, I mean, he dedicated and like a true, like, a new style poet, you know what I'm saying? Like, I really fucked with his vision and energy in the music. Like, he fast and he honest and he, you know, he quick with it and witty and, yeah, you know, on point.
Those are all my favorite things in a rapper as well.
For real.
I love witty.
Who's your favorite rapper?
My favorite rapper of all time?
I take you for a Lil Wayne guy, Jason.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it might be Wayne. It might be Wayne.
I mean, Wayne is a very, like, unproblematic answer. I feel like if you answer Wayne, it feels like everybody's going to be happy also because Wayne is, like, the GOAT, right? But, like...
Yeah.
I would say Birdman before Wayne.
I mean, Birdman's cooler, but he has less of a catalog, I would say.
Do you fuck with Birdman because his big boy style? Then doesn't Wayne write his raps anyway?
I fuck with Birdman just because he Birdman, man. Like, no, like, put some respect when you mention his name, man. Like, honestly, like, on God, like, Birdman is the dopest. Like, he's the Godfather.
I agree.
He's a badder, tougher Shug Knight. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with that.
That's the thing. He's still out here. That's the difference.
He fly in any weather.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He lied any weather. Dumbass.
For real.
No, that you're right. Lil Wayne is an unproblematic reply, and I respect that. What do you like, Master P?
Master P, nah. I never really been into Master P.
No, nothing, No Limit, really?
Nah, I'm more like fucking Max B, fucking Papoose, you know.
Not Papoose.
Yeah, not Papoose.
Bro, that's how I know you're foreign. Saying you like Papoose?
Man, Papoose has a mad ass hits, man.
No, the coolest people I know like Papoose. It's true.
Facts. He has a dumbass hat on, but like, except for that.
Y'all can have that. Y'all can have Papoose. I'm not cool then. Y'all can have that. Hold that
one. I can't believe I got Papoose on this list. But yeah, no, but like that whole wave with like Max B and like all New York, like, you know, like fucking cocky outfits with durags and like, you know, big Timbs, like
when Dipset was really thriving too.
Yeah, exactly. Like it had some extra raw energy to it, you know. It was like West Coast shit always been like more clean cut and smooth. And like, with that said, like Draco the Ruler is still like top one, like my favorite rapper, I would say, of all time. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah, amazing.
All right, well, Vadi, thank you for taking the time to talk to us. The new album comes out on your mom's birthday. What date is that?
It's the 4th of April.
Soon.
Okay, so about 1 month away.
Soon come.
Yeah.
Yeah, they sent over the album. And I listened to it all. It's really good. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And yeah, if you're in Stockholm like the weekend after, fucking 12th of April, we're opening up, like me and my friend are opening up our art gallery in Stockholm.
Oh, nice. What's it called?
Man, we have no idea, bro. Like, honestly, this shit is so impulsive. Like, you know, it's my best friend, Anthony. Like, he's the one I got to know him when I was 14 or 15 through graffiti shit. We've been working ever since. Like, he's the one I run all my record labels with, like, Knowing Electronics, Cease to Exist. And we just got offered, like, this little spot that was beautiful in, like, an area we've both been, like, having other businesses in, you know? And, D is like, do you want it? He's like, fuck it, let's do it. So we're opening up like a...
Let's take it.
Yeah, so we're opening up like a showroom.
Everyone listening, just DM Vari, what you think the gallery should be called, and whoever gets
yeah, it. for real though.
Whoever wins, real you get a that. Free
glance at my bust down.
You get a glance at his bust down.
Yeah, you get a piece. No, but thank you for joining us. It was a pleasure, and we'll look you up next time we're in Stockholm for sure.
Dude, I'll take you to some nice restaurants. Like I'll show you. I mean, you know, Stockholm is like still the most beautiful like Gotham city. Like it's great. I'll show you a good time out there.
I trust you. Thanks again.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, bro. We'll talk to you soon.
Bless up. Take care.